As we welcome you back to the Two Guys Named Chris show, we say hello to Red Rachel there.
Hey.
And BB Shay.
What's up?
Well, I'll tell you, you know exactly what's up.
Cut the tension with a knife.
You know exactly.
You mad, bro? What did I do?
I think you know.
I think you know what you did.
What?
I would certainly hope you would know what you did. I don't want to take too much of Lisa Lanier's
time.
No,
she's on the clock.
She's on the clock. All she right. bills us. Okay. But.
I bet she's never been described as this word, though.
Never.
Oh, I guarantee Lisa's not been described as this word. Yesterday, and I'll let Lisa in on this. I might need an attorney after this.
Did I call you something?
Well, we had an exercise.
Oh.
We have a radio consultant in from the coast. And the exercise was... describe every word you can think of off the top of your head to use to describe Chris Kelly. And the word Chris Kelly hadn't come out of his mouth more than a tenth of a second when BB Shay said, stupid.
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 I can explain myself, but I'm not going to explain myself.
I'm sorry. I thought we were in a safe space.
Just going to let that go.
Yes, this is supposed to be a safe space. This is supposed to stay in the vault.
Yeah.
So, yes, other people. And then Biggie tried to come to my defense. Good father. Family man.
I'm glad you don't remember the first thing I said.
Well, I was really taken back by stupid.
That lingered in
there.
He
was out on his feet, as they say in the boxing world.
I hung in the air. That was a standing eight count. What'd you say for the knockout punch?
Gullible.
Gullible. And then it was... P-whip, wife controls it, stupid, cheap. Oh, yeah, then Biggie's like, I want to get cheap up there in red letters. I want cheap up there. Passive-aggressive, a lot of that going on.
Real positive deck.
Big time. Lisa, you're an attorney. Do I have a lawsuit?
No, I think you know, he was stating his opinion. So What? How much money do you think was paid for this consultant from the coast? Because is this not, I think consultants, no offense to all the consultants listening, I think it's kind of a crock.
Easy.
Use that dump button thing.
When I hear people say, we brought a consultant in and they had us play this game to get, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, and they charged you $50,000.
Lisa, he's still here.
It's a two-day session.
We got to see him later. I'm pretty sure what you just did was call him stupid.
Stupid. You're saying it didn't take a consultant to have BB Shay call me stupid. That could be done.
No, really. And a whole bunch of coin that changed hands over that.
He didn't have to fly in from the coast to have me called stupid. All right. Okay. Fair enough. That's your opinion, I suppose.
It is. That's my opinion.
Now, let's get to the law at hand. First of all, we just had a case where a guy drunk from Canada was in Las Vegas at the Flamingo. Apparently, they have real flamingos walking around.
Yeah.
And this guy broke one's wing and dragged it up to his room. Peachy is the name. Once we named it, we're very concerned about it, as you can imagine. And the question is, are they going to drag him back from Canada to make him stand trial from this? Or can he get a trial in Canada? Because he's back now, right? Did he fly back?
It was this week.
No. They made him. So he was charged with a felony.
Okay.
And they made him surrender his passport. So he's stuck in Vegas till this is finished.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. It should be a felony. I mean, he took the... All right,
emotional justice.
That's peachy.
He dislocated its wing. Like, yes. I mean, it was in a lot of pain. He tortured it. Oh. I don't... You know, there was another story in the news recently where this guy hit a wolf, a big mama wolf, with his snowmobile, and he injured her really badly.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't die. So he stood her up, wrapped duct tape around her snort, and he threw her on the snowmobile, took him to the local bar, and like tortured her all night in front of everybody.
Whoa.
What?
Death penalty.
I mean, like the flamingo guy and wolf guy, I think, need to have what was done to the animal done to them.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Wrap that guy snort up and put him in a bar.
Take him to a bar and let people.
Hit him with a snowmobile.
Yeah, hit him with a snowmobile and take him there, and then dislocate this other guy, the flamingo's guy's shoulder, take it out of socket, and throw him in a hotel room. That's angering. That's upsetting. Yeah. Now, I was described as emotional yesterday as well. Stupid, emotional, Diet Coke guzzling, pickleballing. Family Guy. that's how they describe me. But I am emotional about this now. That's ugly. I don't like it. Did the wolf survive?
I think they had to euthanize it after they,
Oh, what a despicable human being.
Wolves are big.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, he's tough. He took it out like that. We have a story from California. A snowboarder suing multiple companies that you've heard of. He had a crash in 2024 Keystone Resort. Now, he was snowboarding, but he says at a very low speed. And when he fell, he fractured his orbital bones, had a closed head injury, and his right eyeball popped out of its socket. And he is suing, you've heard of Oakley, the goggles manufacturer, and Epic Mountain Gear. And they own Vail Resorts, all in one fell swoop.
And the helmet too, right?
The helmet, yeah. The company that makes the helmet, Salomon, the helmet company. So, Lisa, is he going to be successful, or is it this just on him because he fell?
Well, so Colorado has strict liability for product defects. So if he can show there was a defect that caused his injury, he doesn't have to show negligence. He just has to show that there was a defect. And his, I think his quandary is, okay, how if I'm wearing all this safety gear that's designed to protect my head and eyes, how do I get a crushed orbit and an eyeball popped out and permanent blindness with a low-speed crash right now? We'll have to see. He'll have to prove that he wasn't going too fast because snowboarders, you know, are notoriously fast, and that's a problem on a lot of ski slopes. But if he can prove the causal connection, that there was a defect and it caused his injury versus he was going too fast or something like that.
Okay. I'm kind of with
you
him.
You do have to wonder. You do kind of have to. I mean, you do have to wonder if he's not, you know, it's going to come down to the proof, which we don't know enough about. Mm-hmm. But you have to wonder, like, if he's, he might be able to come up with the proof because you wouldn't think that the bones in your, it's basically your brow and face, you know, are vulnerable when they're supposed to be protected. The helmet comes down, like, to your eyebrows.
If you had to guess, Lisa, would you say that the goggles and the helmet had, like, each one was damaged, or like the whole line of helmets were damaged? Because those brands are everywhere.
I would think this probably falls more on the helmet than the goggles, because goggles really are not designed to protect your face from trauma and fractures. They're more designed to protect your eyes from, like, the snow flying into it or any kind of, you know, debris, just to keep your sight clear. Mm-hmm. They're not really so much about protecting the facial bones, but the helmet comes down low for a reason. You know, it comes down about your brow and kind of sticks out.
Mm-hmm.
And unless he was not wearing it properly or something, there's a lot of questions that'll have to be answered for the court.
Yeah,
that's I'm a suspicious question. Snowboarders, but that's just me.
Well,
as a skier,
was he wearing it properly? He'd have to have somebody to make. I mean, you assume he is, but who knows? You know, it's possibly put it on incorrectly.
God, lost an eye.
Yeah.
Did he lose it permanently?
I could never figure it out.
It popped out. It popped out of his head, basically. And they were not able to save his sight. He has permanent blindness in that eye.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
You saw Friday the 13th, part 3?
Yeah, it's like that.
Yeah.
I was going to say a casino.
Exactly. No. Friday the 13th, part 3. You all saw that. Jason comes up behind the guy. Rick pops his eyeballs out. We understand this. It was in 3D. Red Rachel saw this online as well. Woman in Florida, Lake Worth Beach. She was driving, and the police officer pulled her over, and she's got it on body cam. He said, "I saw you holding an object in your right hand," I guess a phone or whatever she's not supposed to be holding in her right hand, while she was driving. And she said, "Oh, really? You saw me holding it in my right hand?" She was born without a right hand.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
So what happens?
Two points for her.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So what happens in this case? Does she have some sort of lawsuit, or is she just going to get out of whatever fine she was going to have to pay?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is she was going to get out even if she had a right hand, because the guy misapplied, the trooper misapplied Florida law. The Florida law says that you can't text while driving, but that you can. It specifically says you can hold your phone as long as you are not texting. And the only exception to being able to hold your phone is if you are in a construction zone or a school zone, which she was not. So he really misapplied the law anyway. But then it was just the cherry on top that he wrote on the ticket, "I observed her holding a cell phone in her right hand." And I put pictures of this lady on my social media, because it's really clear that she doesn't have a right hand. She has she has a rather large, like, knob stump thing mm-hmm. at the end of her arm. And maybe he mistook that for holding a phone or something. I don't know. But but he wrote that on the ticket. I mean, it's just, you know.
He really doubled down on it, mm-hmm. too. She's like, you saw it in my right hand. Yes, yeah. I saw it in your right hand.
That's a little Chris Kelly move there.
I was going to say. That's
to really power through, even though at that point you know.
You double down.
You know you've lost. That's mm-hmm. what I always do. Mm-hmm. And I know I've lost. I go in harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hold on. Rachel, write that on the board. Double down.
Put it next to stupid / doubles down. Okay, that's right. I would do that. I totally understand where he's coming from.
Can I ask Lisa a question about this?
You know what? Like, next week, if you guys want to keep going with this consulting thing at like a substantial discount, like, I'll give you like half off and I'll complain.
Lisa, again, he's actually listening.
Okay, again, he's here.
He's staring at me through a window.
BB Shea has a question as well, Lisa.
Yeah, this is regarding the texting while driving. You said that Florida law, they can hold their phones but not text. Is there a way for the police to be able to prove that somebody was or was not texting if they're pulled over holding their phone? How does that process work?
You know, I think it's probably that they would observe them texting, you know, that you, because most people can't, or, you know, would have a hard time texting with one hand. So it's probably they see people like holding the phone with both hands and texting.
I would imagine that this is one of those laws that is not kept up with the tech, because when I'm driving and I see people holding their phones, they're not texting. They're watching videos.
Yeah. God almighty, that is crazy.
They're on TikTok.
Yeah. See, you know? I assume they were texting. You think they are on TikTok watching videos.
Yeah, they're not texting.
Yes.
Oh, so texting is passe. Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah.
God.
I didn't know if they had to go like prove like, oh, you sent the message at this time. The timestamp. And then you're like, okay, you were texting.
Yeah. I don't know, BB Shea. I thought that question was pretty stupid.
I'm not sure
about that one. This is body cam related as well, and a famous person, Justin Timberlake, has sued to block the release of the body cam video of his DUI arrest in 2024 in Sag Harbor, New York. Some news organizations want it now. It should be available. But he's saying no, and his lawyers are saying it hurts his public image. Will he be able to stop it from coming out, Lisa? What do you think?
It's very interesting because the judge already heard the arguments of the town and Justin Timberlake, because what's at play is that he's saying he has privacy interests in this and that it shouldn't be released to the public and it's going to make him look terrible. It's an invasion of his privacy, subjects him to public ridicule. So the town is saying, look, we have this FOIL law, which is kind of like the Freedom of Information Act, which is federal, but the FOIL law is their version of the Freedom of Information law. And it says that you have to release that body cam footage is public record and it has to be released. And so they're balancing kind of that government public transparency against privacy rights. The judge talked to the parties. He heard the arguments. He talked to the parties and he said, look, you guys go work this out. He said, I'm going to block the release for now for a few days and let you guys go work out a compromise and work this out. Mm-hmm. And so what I think they will do is significantly redact the more embarrassing parts of it and then release it. That's what I think they'll come down to. And apparently, because you know, you guys, when we go talk about these stories, I go down these deep rabbit holes and I go on Reddit and all these things. So what I've read is that what he's really worried about is not the part where he's busted, you know, literally, you know, getting out of his car and all that. That's pretty tame. Mm-hmm. But that what he's worried about is that they continued to video him while he was being booked and even in his cell, like they're doing like with, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell. Mm. And that in his cell that he just had a come apart and was like wallowing on the floor crying like a baby. And that it looks really, really bad.
Oh, really? Oh, man. Yeah. But TMZ would love to get their hands on that, though.
You'd
love to see it. That's what they're wanting, and he wants that redacted. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think he'll get redacted.
I think because it doesn't have anything to do with the arrest, you know. I thought he was going to play the Don't You Know Who I Am card, which the guy didn't. Remember, the cop didn't know who he was. Yeah. He was too young to know Justin Timberlake. There's a Tennessee couple suing Longhorn Steakhouse because they were attacked by a moose inside the Longhorn. It was dead.
It was dead.
Hung on the wall.
It was just its head.
The antlers fell from the wall, seriously injuring them while they were dining. Dennis and Patricia Swartz. And they say now, you know, they've got all these problems, like no more intimacy with each other because they now no longer lust for each other after the antler.
Knocked that part of my brain loose.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, he used to go to Longhorn and then make love all night. You've ruined it.
That's over. Now, we talked about this earlier in the week. should Longhorn have known, oh, man, these antlers could fall off this moose, or is that something they would never really check? I think it comes down to that. Lisa, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, generally speaking, believe it or not, first of all, this happens a lot more often than you would think.
Really?
I mean, it is like, when I was researching this story, I found several, like maybe four other instances of, like, you know, either like deer heads or antlers or whatever in restaurants and bars falling on people. And so I think, yeah, they have generally a duty of care. This happened in Tennessee. They have a duty of care there to keep the premises reasonably safe. And that includes affixing heavy objects like this. And I don't think people realize how heavy these things are. And, you know, just the antlers themselves, and then if there's the taxidermied head attached to it, and they're very sharp and dangerous and heavy. And I think people, you know, whoever secures them to the wall doesn't do it adequately. And over time, you know, it happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So usually these people get paid.
I would figure. I might think to myself, they're never going to check that. You know, the folks at Longhorn, they put it
they
on
don't
wall.
Do it every 6 months, do they?
You wouldn't think.
Check the rivets.
I mean, they really.
It's more about how they affix it to begin with.
I see.
If they're using one of those little, you know, the little wall things that you hang a picture with, you know, that's a problem.
Oh, yeah, because they're heavy, of course. We had an incident last night. Speaking of Tennessee, we had a dinner at an Indian restaurant. And there's, you know, several people around the table, including the much maligned radio consultant. Yeah, we had Indian last night. And apparently, now he's from the coast, but he's got some property in Tennessee as well. And the one of our higher-ups here said, and I'm quoting now, "Where is Tennessee?" And you want to talk about bringing a table to a stop.
I thought Kelly was about to leave, man. I thought he was going to get up and walk out. I'm done.
Where is Tennessee, he said. And the radio consultant said, well, right next to you over here.
Walk west.
It's put two and two together. I'm putting two and two together here. That's the same executive that hired the consultant, right?
Yeah, I guess.
The consultant pulled you aside. You should be concerned.
You're going to need more work from me.
I don't need experience to know you should be concerned.
Did something land on your head at the last restaurant?
They had a Bengal tiger that stuffed and landed on his head last night. A terrible, terrible event. Lisa Lanier. You
know, the consultant's going to say, get rid of Lisa Lanier.
Be careful. You got to be good. Never, Lisa Lanier. Thank you very much, as always. We appreciate it.